Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Talking Points. This is your host, Brian Kelly, the Points Guy. This episode may feature offers that are subject to change and are offered by our advertising partners. ThePointsGuy.com is a free website, so we do advertise in order to generate revenue. For a full listing of our advertising policy, go to ThePointsGuy.com/advertising. Today, we've got a very special guest, a very close friend of mine, and she goes by many different handles.
She does.
At Girl with No Job, at Claude with No Job.
Pup with No Job.
At Pup with No Job, Swift with No Job.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Swiftie. Swiftie with No Job, actually.
Claudia Ashray.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
I love this. I love talking to you like it's fake, because like we talk all the time, you know? But now we're like pretending.
I know, and it's nice to like turn the tables.
And to make eye contact with someone. I never make eye contact with people. It's like my biggest flaw.
But you're comfortable with me.
I love you.
Because we're friends.
Yes.
And Claudia is she wears a lot of hats. She's got an amazing Instagram account, several amazing ones that I just mentioned. She also is a comedian who I have seen now several times.
Yes.
I'm a full-blown fan.
And the whole show is like for you.
And a morning show host.
Yes.
And actually, you like being introduced as...
You know, I haven't decided yet. I go through phases. Like sometimes I just like comedian because I think that commands respect. But I think morning show host also commands respect. Like she wakes up early.
You know?
And I do.
You do it all.
I really do.
While running things on social media.
So what time do you wake up?
I usually now, well, especially now that it's sober January.
Oh,
and
it
one
was
weekend,
for me.
I know, until Saturday night.
I messed up. But I'm back.
I actually went to LA and did events and stuff and did not.
You did sober?
I was out at brunch and people were raiding the Bloody Mary cart and I resisted.
Those types of events are very difficult without
so
some liquid
difficult,
courage.
Especially, you know, when Nicole Kidman's toasting you with champagne. You know how that is.
You know, you got to do the right thing with Nicole Kidman. You just got to drink. Good for you for withstanding.
So I don't even know what we were just talking about. But wait, let's just introduce you to TPG readers. So who you are. So you got your start with the Girl with No Job Instagram and posting hysterical memes.
Yeah, I fell into meme culture when it was very early on. Like I've been on Instagram since I was a freshman in college, which is 6 years, 7 years. That's like a long time for an app. So I attribute a lot of like the success of Girl with No Job just to the mere fact that I was on Instagram so early. Like the only other person on Instagram at the time was like Man Repeller.
Mm-hmm.
And she also like really took off. So meme culture like just kind of developed out of like a necessity for people to like communicate with one another without actually saying anything. And I really just capitalized on that and just like followed
trends. There's
nothing
easier than just tagging a friend. So
no.
I don't have to say I miss you. Just tag it in a crazy meme.
And when I meet people, they're like, you literally keep me in contact with my friends. Like we never really like talk, but we send each other a meme just to let them know we're thinking about each other. And that's really like the way millennials communicate now.
It's true.
So
you have taken that amazing meme account that just hit how many followers?
3 million.
3 million followers.
Now I'm
mean, we have,
four.
I mean, not to like rain on your parade, but we just hit 9 million monthly uniques in December.
Oh,
but,
must be nice.
But I only have 200,000 Instagram followers, so you're killing me there. But
give it 1 month.
So, but it's really awesome because you've taken this meme account, but you're hysterical as a person. So you have your morning show, The Morning Toast, which I have been a guest on several
times. And everyone loves you. That was like the struggle because like people from the internet, there's like a stigma. It's like if you've found success on the internet, in real life, you're like a weenie who lives in your mom's basement and like just can
And it has been hard for influencers to transfer into TV. It does not happen into other spaces.
But that's because like that stigma is kind of true. Like you meet people from the internet and it just like falls flat. And I knew that there was a way to transcend into real life because I think I'm funny like in real life and I'm charismatic and not everyone can say that. So I didn't know how to take it to the next level. And like there's no precedent. Like there's no – so I don't look at anyone's career being like, oh, she started on Instagram.
That's exactly how I feel. Even though there's other bloggers, we've taken – we have – you know, you're in this office now. We've got almost 60 employees. We're launching global like no other blogger.
And now people are copying you.
Yeah.
And you're setting the...
You have to kind of like set the tone. So I think that's why we, even though I'm much older than you.
No. I'm a wise old soul.
You are a wise. I still can't believe you're in your early 20s, but you're...
Because I feel like a 90-year-old physically. This body, this is a 90-year-old body.
So you've got your morning show. And yes. So where can people tune in?
So the Morning Toast live streams on YouTube, and then it's also available as a podcast. And it's super interactive. It's really fun. The live stream is really fun because everyone gets to watch and comment live, and we like include that in the show. So it really feels like you're a part of it. We compare it most to like the digital Watch What Happens Live, which actually did start out as a web show, because Watch What Happens Live has done an amazing job of like engaging people through phone, text. Like you can submit questions, yeah. And they really, like, I've called in and gotten through to the after show, never to the real show. But like as a big fan, like it's nice to feel like you're included.
Yep.
And we love that like community oriented vibe. So we try and do that with the Toast in the best way that
well,
we can.
I will say, so I, you know, I have a fair amount of fans that come up to me in airports, but the Toasters, let's just talk about your followers, which you call the Toasters.
Yes.
They are an ebullient bunch of people.
They are incredible. They are, like, if you ever need any sort of, like, piece of information found out, like, they will find it for you. They are detectives.
And that's so true, because we just saw Lady Gaga in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and we knew Katy Perry was going to be there before
because,
Katy Perry did.
Because I got a DM from a Toaster, and I told you about it. Like, they know everything. It's just so cool, because they have such different, like, life experiences, and they come from all around the country, mostly Canada as well. But, like, and our show is really, like, we don't have many rules, but one of it is just, like, it's an apolitical, like, kind of form of escapism. And these girls are so different. And if you had thrown down, like, you know, some sort of question about abortion, like, they wouldn't agree on anything. But they're so different, and they come together to form this community of just, like, different thinkers and different people with different life experiences. And they get along so well. And, like, that's what's epic. Because, like, in today's, like, cancel culture, it's just, like, no one can get along.
Yeah.
And I'm all about getting along.
Yeah. I love going on. I've been on several times now. It's so fun. I mean, the DM. I mean, the Toasters are
raunchy.
It's a very active audience. I mean, it's crazy. I get people come up to me on the street to take selfies because of the Toast. And,
right.
You know, I love living in your shadow in Vegas. Like, when Toasters would come up, like, oh, yeah, and you're the points guy, too. So.
No, please. It's just so funny because, like, if we're in a casino
but they always
in Vegas.
Tell me, they always tell me that I'm the most – I still get it. Just yesterday, that I'm the most productive, you know, or
you
the
really
most
are.
Informative host.
Oh, my God,
Toast.
Totally. But it's just so funny. Like, if – like, you and I went to – it's just, like, the different people. You and I went to VMAs, and we went out to get a drink, obviously, and we were in the bar, and like all these people came up to you, like accomplished business people, the CMO of Chase, like just like these real like leaders of our generation. And it's like I have like 10-year-old like girls like, oh my God, what did you think about Kim Kardashian? And I'm like, we're just so different, you know.
But we're filling important, you know,
totally.
Millennial needs. Because
totally.
I technically am a millennial at 35.
Millennials, like the age that people think of millennials, they think of like a 16-year-old with their phone. No, like a millennial
yeah.
can go up to like 35 now.
Yeah.
That's what people think of millennials and all those like stereotypes about millennials is actually Gen Z.
Yeah.
I love Gen Z. I like wish I was one.
I know. We need to do better. We're actually going to be going on a college tour this year for TPG.
Genius.
And get this, and we haven't even told anyone yet. My team will kill me. But I think we're going to do this thing where we pay for study abroad flights.
And oh, man, that's so smart.
So we're going to have a whole study abroad
love
scholarship.
That. Love
anyway.
That.
You heard it here first. Don't DM me asking for a free flight, though.
Breaking news.
I hate that. So speaking of tours, you this past year have gone on the Dirty
yes.
Jeans tour, which just explain a little bit what that experience has been like taking this
oh
show.
God.
So you took it from Instagram
mm-hmm.
to a morning show and now in real life to people across the country.
Well, people have told me forever. They're like, oh, you're so funny. You should be a comedian. Like, but the idea of going on stage and saying something that potentially like isn't funny makes me want to die. And that fear is crippling enough to have me never do it. And with Girl With No Job just like evolving as much as it did, like I really am open to trying everything. I'm like, you never know what's going to work because like I said, there's no precedent for this. So I'm like, I tried a podcast, live show, like I try everything. Sometimes it works. I tried to be a DJ. You know, that didn't work.
Do you test your material out on air before, like or on, because how do you test it? Do you sometimes just have to bomb live?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And for me, it's like the reason I struggled and waited so long to do a live show is because what people don't realize is like stand up, it's meant to look like improv, but it's very rehearsed.
Yeah.
And that's so not me.
Because like, you go for 90 minutes straight.
Right.
That, I mean, I can speak about points in front of a crowd, but it's – and even though it can be hard, and
mm-hmm.
I'm an expert,
yep.
and I know all the nitty-gritty details, but carrying an audience for that long, how do you do it? I mean, what are,
I don't know. And like – The,
and you do two shows sometimes.
Back to back.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
But it's like the thing that I struggle with the most is like the rehearsed element. Because like for the Toast, I sit down and I just talk. Like I wing it and sometimes that gets me in trouble. But like I'm very much improv off the cuff. I'm conversationally funny. So to have to sit down and write jokes feels very not natural to me. Which is why I like going around the country because I get to like, you know, I'll make different jokes in Boston than I will in Arizona. And that's like the where I get like the improv.
Have you ever had one joke do really, really well somewhere and then just bomb
oh,
somewhere?
Oh, of course. You know, people in New York and Boston, like they have this like elite vibe where like they think they're better than everyone and like I like to talk about that and they don't like to be called out on the fact that they think they're better than everyone and that is just further proving
I'm
that they think they're better.
I'm getting uncomfortable right now.
Right, right. But like people in Arizona and like Chicago and the Midwest, like they know how to laugh at themselves and like that's why I love going to places with people who are different than me because like we're really not that different,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's cool because and I also admire your tour because I travel. I've been to the Maldives 4 times in the last 2 years.
Oh, so difficult.
But I've never been to, you know, like Badlands National mm-hmm. Park. And I really, really want to
America.
Do, you know, an America road tour. So travel
You should
is,
get an RV.
I want to. And will
a
you
tour
come
bus?
With me?
Of course.
Well,
I like... You know,
we're taking our show on the road this year. Israel, I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
About.
I know. It's in my planner. Once it's in my planner.
It's done.
Do you have a planner?
Yeah, his name is Adam.
Jackie recently started making me getting a planner because, like, I'm the worst.
I write everything down. Mm-hmm. If I don't write something down, I don't remember it. But so travel. So physically, you travel a lot getting
yeah,
to these shows.
Which is hard for me.
But and that provides you a lot of material.
Yes. Because
you have a whole travel. And I sometimes wonder, the first time I saw you, I was mm-hmm. like, is she doing this travel thing because I'm here?
So it's so funny that you say that because, like, you came to my – second show ever, and there is this whole bit about travel just because there is so much travel involved in my show, and really so many things about travel are so funny and terrible because you see humans at their worst and
worst.
It's the funniest. So I was thinking as I was doing it, I'm like, I wonder if TBG thinks I like made this special for him, because like and then because every time I said something travel, you were like screaming in the back, and I'm like, yes. But I really do that as a part of every show because yeah, it's so funny.
So travel, so you love Delta. Why do you love Delta?
I love Delta just being from New York and living in New York, it is the most accessible airline, because if you fly to LaGuardia or JFK, it's really like the airline of JFK and
yep,
of LaGuardia, and especially now with all the LaGuardia
renovation.
What do you renovation.
Prefer, LaGuardia or JFK?
Oh my God, LaGuardia, are you crazy? People say LaGuardia is the worst airport in the world. I just have to say, it's the greatest airport in the world. There's no people there because everyone says it's the worst airport. It's so close. But I do have to say, because I fly Delta, I haven't been to all the LaGuardia terminals. And I recently went to Miami. And really, when you go to Miami, you got to fly American Airlines. And so I did go to the American Airlines LaGuardia terminal.
Because you're obsessed with LifeLight Beds.
Right, of course. And I did see what people were talking about when they say LaGuardia is the worst airport in the world. It truly was one of the worst terminals I've ever been to.
So you didn't fly American from JFK because they have lie-flat beds.
No, I flew LaGuardia. Is just it's so much easier, and especially when I do the toast and then I go somewhere because I try and do the toast in the morning and then like a Dirty Jeans show at night, pending that the flight isn't more than 2 hours. So making it from LaGuardia just makes my life so much easier. But I went to this terminal, American Airlines. I don't know what it was called. I want to say Terminal B.
The finest, yeah, it's the finest cuisine is Annie Ann's,
which by the way,
Annie Ann's M's.
Annie Ann with a pretzel
Annie
is
Ann, yeah,
it's amazing. Don't say anything
What's
bad about them.
What's your flavor, garlic?
Cinnamon. Oh my God, are you crazy? But the Admiral's Club lounge is, it's like a row of chairs. It's not like walls.
Oh, because they're renovating it and they
right,
just did a pop-up.
Right. So when people talk about LaGuardia being the worst airport, they're talking about that. But Delta, it's literally the most glamorous. They have more than one sky lounge per terminal. It is premium. They have all the iPads.
What do you do when you go into the lounge? What's your first area of attack?
Snack, of course. But actually, it depends how long I had to wait in security. Maybe I had to go to the bathroom. But
you have
for
TSA,
the most part,
though,
snack.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
And you have Clear?
I just got Clear because of you.
And actually, my next podcast episode is going to be the CEO of Clear.
Well, let me tell – why don't you deliver this message?
I will deliver.
I'm very upset.
Her.
Oh, look at me. The patriarchy has taken over. I'm very upset because I said to TPG, I said, guys, should I do Clear? And he said, of course, I love it. And because I'm a certain medallion on Delta, I got a discount. It was only $79. So you know what? I travel a lot. It's an expense I'm willing to take on. And I keep going. And every time I travel at odd times, like in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, that like the TSA pre-check line isn't even long. So I'm like, cutting a line that isn't even long.
Yeah.
So I haven't really seen the value. But I did travel on the day after Christmas to Vegas. Oh, I was meeting you in JFK International Airport. It was wild. And it was the first time the TSA pre-check line was just as long as the regular line. I'm like, oh, this is where Clear's coming in.
Bum, bum, bum.
I go to the Clear. There's like a bunch of people waiting around. I'm like, what's the problem? Oh, our machines are down.
Oh, my.
They're like, you could either wait or just get in the pre-check line. I'm like, I'm not going to wait like an asshole. You know this is never getting fixed. So I went in the pre-check line. I'm like, this is the one time it really would have been clutch for me.
I will
that's just the way my life works.
I will deliver this message.
He's going to be like, that's too fucking bad.
So have you ever, has a flight ever caused you to miss a show or be late?
So funny that you said that. Knock on wood with me. Knock on wood, con. No. And I play it very, like, I'm very crazy about it. Like, I'll take a flight. I usually do sound check around, like, 5 or 6, and I'll take a flight that gets me in at 4 with, like, a 30-minute drive. And it hasn't happened yet. It's definitely going to happen.
What
and
do
I
you
just,
think your fans would do if you
they
were?
They would be pissed. Like, I would be pissed, too. And
yeah,
it's really, like, irresponsible of me to be so irresponsible. But, you know, that's when you want to do the toast in the morning, and then, because I hate missing the toast. It's, like, my least favorite thing. Mm. So I try and do shows
on
the weekends.
I know, I was late that one time. That was bad.
Extremely late, yeah.
And then I came early this time and defiled your studio.
You literally came before, like, any of the techs got there. Like, you were the first person in the studio. They opened it for you. No, I haven't missed a show yet, and I'm really hoping that it never happens. But because I try and do the toast in the morning, it's inevitable. And I just hope it's not, like, an important show.
So someone finds themselves sitting next to you on a plane. What are your travel pet peeves?
Okay, so I always sit on the aisle because I have a very small bladder and I'm not trying to disturb people. So it's funny, like when I'm in the aisle and the person in the window is getting up a million times, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But if I'm on the window, I have a small bladder and they're like looking at me, I'm like, I have a medical condition. So I see both sides, but I really always try and go on the aisle because I pee so much. And when I'm on the plane, if I don't drink water, I'll get a migraine for a month, you know? Like I really feel the plane. Yep. So when they give you those little Dasanis and Delta first class, like I'm always chugging them because that's where I get my water consumption and it helps me with my migraines. So that's why I always sit on the aisle. I really can't deal with people who like aggressively recline.
Oh, ASRs, yeah. There's, when you jam it back, even in first class, sometimes the first class seats are really.
There's a way to recline in a peaceful way, and when
give us your tips.
Okay, slow and steady wins the race. Just like a normal recline, like a quick.
But doesn't that require core strength?
Yeah, of course. It's a good workout. See, it's two for one.
Yeah.
But then people who like keep like banging back, like as if they think it could go back further. I'm like, please, this isn't an international lie flat bed. It's a recliner. Relax. That really gets me. Also, people who are just so visibly rude to flight attendants, and don't get me wrong.
Will you clap back? Or are you quiet on planes? Because you're like, you know, not all you're need, overspoken and outspoken in real life.
All I need is like a video of me, you know, like starting
to
fight.
Yeah, so you're very like quiet.
Well, so I'm very quiet. I just like silently judge. Like I will never forget I was on a flight to LA.
You'll just Instagram about it to 3 million people after it happens.
Yeah, of course. I was on a flight to LA and this girl got on with a service animal and it was like an emotional support, you know. My dog is emotional support and I'm just going to come out and say it. He doesn't support me at all. Like I just want to travel with him and that's what most, and this was just like a classic LA girl. She was so spoiled. She didn't register at all. She got seated in a middle seat and she was like, I can't, my emotional support dog. I'm like, well, you didn't do any of the proper preparations.
Yeah. This is why we can't have nice things.
She was so rude that someone literally offered, she was like, literally take my seat just so you stop talking. Like someone gave up their, on the 6-hour flight, their
I'm
middle
sure
seat.
She's done that before.
It was so treacherous and like there's, don't get me wrong, it's tension filled on an airplane.
Yeah.
And sometimes a flight attendant is just rude for no reason. Like they just have a bad attitude and that sucks. But like when someone's trying to help you, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. And sometimes I'll never get involved because like I don't need anyone recording me. Like, you know. But I'll just like silently judge and give her eyes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, this fucking, are you for real?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards, because when I met you, your credit card, I think you were using a Wells Fargo debit card.
Okay, I was using, excuse me, don't degrade me like that. It was a Chase debit card. And I don't know why I never got a credit card. I just like, I made money and I spent it. It seemed easy. And I didn't like the idea of paying a bill.
Were you nervous about overpaying, you know, especially after you got successful? Like, was there something about just paying in cash so you knew you wouldn't get in trouble?
Or? It was the responsibility.
I feel like a lot of millennials feel, and that's a great thing. And I always like, I'm like, obviously using credit cards when you're smart makes a lot of sense. But, you know, especially for the younger millennials, I sometimes do worry about, you know, because we're not really taught financial independence.
No. And but for me, it was like the responsibility of the end of the month having to pay a bill. And I know you could put on automatic pay. I get it. But I just like the idea of like, I wanted to buy an Apple. The funds were gone and I never had to think about it again. Like it was just the immediate, like I didn't have to on the 31st think about paying for the Apple. Like it was already paid for. But then once
are you talking about like a physical Apple or like an iPhone?
I'm talking more just like about a product. And I don't know why I use the Apple, but
<It's> like,
I don't know why I would charge an Apple because it's like a dollar. But whatever. You know my point. But once you really open my
it's
eyes,
like you're not
like,
very tech savvy. You're like, I wanted to buy an Apple
iPad. Like a true, just like a product. Like I'm at the store. Yeah. But you opened my eyes to like the missed opportunities, and I did hate that. Like I didn't really know. I've always collected miles on Delta, and like for every 4 flights I take, like one of them was free just for the miles. Yep. But once I met you, like, and you shamed me. Someone once made a joke to me, and like very few people understand this reference. But I was like, they're like, you don't have a credit card. I'm like, no, I have a debit card. They're like, you're literally an Orthodox Jewish man. Like that's just how it's like the money. It's like they don't understand the points, and like that was me. And it wasn't until you really opened my eyes to the missed opportunity, the cost opportunity of having a credit card, that really made me, you know, second guess.
So what cards are in your wallet right now? Which cards do you love the most?
The first one I got was the Chase Sapphire Reserve that you made me get, and I'm very grateful. And me and Jackie got it at the same time, but homegirl accidentally chose the Preferred. Because when you're looking at the two, one of them is better.
Yeah.
You think the Preferred
would
be the better
one. Well, because you're like, fee waived the first year, let me just get...
No, but just the name Preferred sounds... It's like Preferred over Reserve, you know? Like,
that's actually really... I've never thought of that.
It's confusing. And I was actually at a charity event yesterday, and I was helping fundraise, and they had like a square, and I was taking people's credit cards, and someone had the preferred. I'm like, you like this card? They're like, well, I thought it was a reserve.
That's so funny.
You should tell Chase. It's very confusing.
I will relay this information.
It should just be like, this card's good. This one's better.
Yeah. It's so hard. Yeah. One is like blue and one is
like less blue.
Yeah,
like
it's so hard.
It's very difficult.
So you have your reserve and then.
So I got my reserve. And to be honest, I'm out of control because like I keep trying to get my credit limit raised. And I keep getting it raised. But like I literally pay my bill a couple times a month because I need more money.
Especially when you have the business spend on
right.
it too.
So now I got a business credit card. It's actually a checking. What's it called? A credit card. It's a
charge card.
So you have to pay in full, which I pay in full anyway.
What, Business Platinum?
Business Platinum. Because I already had a personal platinum that gets me into the Sky Lounge. But I do like the points. And because I travel so much, it's 5 times for travel, which is what you told me. Only when you book it through American Express directly, which is really difficult. Because
you can book airlines directly, actually.
No, but I use a travel agency for the tour.
Yeah.
So they don't get 5 times the points. They get like 3 times.
You could put it on reserve because that'll be 3x on travel agencies.
But my limit isn't high enough for all the tour. That's what I'm saying. I keep calling. They're like, you again? I'm like, yeah, can you raise my limit? No. But I get reimbursed for all that travel, which is rocks. So I get to keep all the points and I don't have to pay for my flights.
You have it down.
And then I got my Lie Flat Bed to Vegas for free.
That's amazing.
On points.
Well, because you weren't hungover at all after our Vegas trip, were you?
This is the most me thing ever. Ready? On our last night, you stayed for one more night, but on my last night in Vegas, I obviously, you know, was drunk because I saw Lady Gaga and I just needed to be there. And then we spent the night together. And we spent the evening together. And
it was a low-key evening.
Very low-key. I get back to my room, you know, kind of drunk. And what do? I change my flight. Like, that's what I do when I'm drunk.
Well, you had a good reason. Your sister was getting married.
Yeah, but I had a fine flight. I was like, I know myself. Like, when I wake up somewhere and I'm going home that day, I want to be on the first flight out. Like, I would rather be tired at home than well-rested on a later flight. So it was, like, the most me thing ever. Like, moved me and Margo to a 9 a.m.
Especially
flight.
When you have to check out at noon and then you're like, there's, like, the in-between.
The time. Yeah. So me and Margo wake up and I'm like, Margo, we got to go to the airport. She was like, what? Like, I moved our flights. That was like, some people get drunk and call like their ex-boyfriends. Like, I get drunk and call Delta.
If there's ever a soundbite to have on this podcast. So let's talk about destination. So we are going to plan a trip to Israel together. I've never been. How many times have you been?
I've been many a time.
You can't even count.
The first time I went when I was like in the 7th grade, and it's just like a pilgrimage every year. Yeah. Like it's so epic.
Did you do Birthright?
No, I wasn't eligible because I'd been before. But I kind of want to do like a toaster Birthright trip. I got to talk to them about that.
Could you imagine?
If you work at Birthright, like hit me up. But Birthright is very, it's for the physically fit. You travel, like, it's long nights on buses and it's walks and hikes and on the mountain and the desert. And, you know, I'm really looking for like a much more like a culinary experience when it comes to Israel. So if I were to do some sort of Birthright, it would be very low impact. Not so many hikes, more so like wine tours, you know? They have great vineyards.
What's the drinking age in Israel?
18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are you allowed to drink on Birthright?
Oh, I don't know the rules. I think, yeah.
But so for me, I've never been to Israel. Mm-hmm. It's just, I've always wanted to go and really dedicate time. So often I'm like flying in and out. Mm-hmm. So what are you, for knowing me as a person, what do you think I'm going to love the most about Israel?
What I love the most, and I think
besides
you'll agree,
men.
besides the men and besides pride, it's like it's the dichotomy. Because like when I go, I spend time in Jerusalem and then time in Tel Aviv. And Jerusalem is really special. It's like very peaceful. You get to, you know, connect with your heritage and your spirituality, and you cry, and it's really special. And it's not very like turn up, it's just much more relaxing, you know, getting to know the history of the place. And then you drive an hour to Tel Aviv, and it is just like beach town popping. That's where Pride is. Some of the greatest
it's like
beaches.
Miami, kind right. of. How do you describe it compared to Miami? It's like a cooler Miami?
It's a cooler Miami. It's actually less cool. Like everyone in Miami is so worried about like what they're looking like and what their pictures come out like and if they can get a reservation. It's like everyone's so self aware, whereas like in Israel, it's just like party. Like, it's very welcoming. It's the only Pride in all the Middle East. So, like, everyone really flocks there.
I've heard. I've seen it.
It's wild. It's just, my sister went last year and Andy Cohen hosted, which was just like a brilliant brand partnership on behalf of Andy and Israel.
I feel like you're talking to Andy during this podcast because you're like, you respect his show so much.
I live my life like Andy Cohen's listening. And you know what? He's not. And that's difficult.
You
for
never
me.
Know.
You never know.
So Israel's going to be amazing. What are your top destinations? Like, where are you dying to visit?
So I haven't gone on my honeymoon yet, and I got married over a year ago. And it was a dumb decision. I should have went immediately after because I'm like, we'll go in the summer. And then I started the tour, and like, we're never going. But so now we're talking like this summer is going to be the time for
and
us.
And now that you have points.
Right. And I said,
Ben has points.
We're saving our points, and in the summer we will go somewhere. So I would like to go. Ben is very much keen on like, you know, touring somewhere, like walking around a lot, whereas like I want to park my ass on a beach and just like chill. And we're struggling with the difference, so it's looking like we're probably gonna have to go to two places.
Yeah.
One like maybe Maldives, Hawaii vibe. Yes. I just don't know if I can last the flight to the Maldives.
Well, Bora Bora is only 8 hours from LA. Tahiti. Tahiti's really nice.
It's really far. But
you're talking about Maldives. Maldives, you got to fly 14 to Dubai. And then I'm trying to find, like, and then three.
What's the closest, most similar?
Well, why don't you do Italy then? Because there's gorgeous beaches.
I think Italy is good for us because it's a combination of the beach and like the tourism vibe. Like, Ben can walk around one day.
He's going to walk around and be like,
let's go back to the beach. You know, he talks a big game.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking Turks and Caicos is my favorite place. And it's very similar.
I went twice last year.
I went once last year. It's the greatest. And I felt like Kim Bierman, you know? The Biermans love Turks and Caicos. They made it like a destination. And everyone there talks about them. Like, we had some guy with a jet ski.
It's like, when I went to Barbados 10 years ago, they were like, do you know Rihanna?
Shut up.
And they were like, she's my cousin.
Well, everyone on the island, like, we had someone come with the jet skis, like a chef. They're like, you know Kim Bierman? She stayed at this house. I'm like, she did. I love her.
So what travel tips? So you gave some, you did a great stand-up, short stand-up at the TPG Awards.
Oh, yeah.
What travel tips? You know, our listeners, our readers are very well-traveled.
I know. I feel like they're going to think I'm, like, dumb, you know?
No. But what are some travel tips you would give them?
Well, so for me, especially going on tour, it's very rough on my skin. The dry air. And actually, it's very weird. And I don't know if this is, like, statistically or, like, scientifically correct. But when I'm in the bathroom on an airplane, I always pop my blackheads because it's something about the dry cabin air that is actually helpful in getting the exfoliation. I don't know if that's, like, actually true, but I find it very good.
The airplane is really tough on your skin.
Right. So I use this thing, and it's not a sponsorship. It is the greatest thing I ever got. It's called Summer Fridays. It's a mask that it's clear and you don't have to peel it off. So it eventually like seeps into your skin.
Oh.
And because it's so dry up there.
Can you see it?
No. It looks like moisturizer. It just sits on your face. You look like a little shiny.
Summer Fridays.
It's so great. And every time I get on a plane, no matter how long or short. I know.
I want Summer Fridays.
And it's like this cute little glamorous tube that like sell on Revolve. I like feel like such a Revolve girl, you know? It's so good on your skin. It really helps from like the dry crackle like vibe. And when I get off, I feel so much better. I always take my makeup off before a flight and people think I'm crazy. I'm like, I have these wipes with me. I'm like, every time I get to my seat, I don't want to be like a behemoth running through the airport without makeup. So I wear makeup and then I sit down on the plane and I take it off and I'm like rubbing my face off. People think I'm disgusting.
Are you a germaphobe on the plane?
It's so funny that you say that. Only when I'm in a live flat bed do I like do the wet wipes, like wipe the whole thing down.
Because
there's so many like buttons for the chair, for the TV, for the outlet, for the button, the light that I feel the germs. But on like a regular first class or even a coach seat, like there's not that many things to touch. Mm-hmm. There's just so much more square footage in a lie flat that you really need to take precaution.
And let's end this. I've never ended a podcast. You can ask me a question. I know you do it all the time via text message anyway, but are there any questions?
Oh, dear God. Okay. This is just like, this is really me specific. I'm flying from, I'm flying from JFK to Phoenix, which is an incredibly long flight. It's almost as long as Vegas. And I have a hard time believing that I can't find a lie flat bed. But I'm flying Delta and it's just a recliner.
Mm.
Is there anyone that can, actually, and then I have another question for you too.
I don't think there's any from New York. I think once in a while, American from like Philly, you could probably connect, but nonstop, I think you're out of luck.
Okay, now another question for you. Also, me specific. I'm going to Puerto Vallarta, and it's so annoying because I'm going on this big trip, and it's like everyone goes from LA. I'm like one of three people who comes from New York. And last year, I took a connecting flight because it was the only, and it was so annoying, and I made the big mistake. I don't take connecting flights a lot, so I don't know the rules. I made a big mistake of connecting in Mexico. So I had to do customs twice. It was absolute torture. The Mexico City airport is like very Munich vibes, like no
color. The only good thing about connecting, I was going to tell you, connecting through Mexico City, you can fly JFK to Mexico on the 787 lie flat. That's really the only lie flat.
Oh, really?
Because Newark, because I was supposed to go this past summer and I was looking into lie flat options because that's far as well.
It's long.
But there's only one nonstop from Newark to Puerto Vallarta.
Yes, and
only
it's not on the
days
that I'm. Yeah, they're like, are you flexible? No, my dates are never flexible. But so I made the big mistake of travel of making the customs was
and
just
flying
such a
through
problem.
LA is not easy. You could lie flat to LA, but then it's still like it's like out of the way.
So I'm flying through Dallas, so it's just like two regular recliners both ways. But I want
to get
know,
the Centurion Lounge in
what
Dallas.
Why is there, like, Mexico's popping, New York is popping. What is the rules? Like, how does one come up with, like, oh, yeah, we'll have a nonstop flight from New York to, like, Uganda, but not, you know what I mean? Like, who makes those rules?
It's supply and demand, Claudia.
You're telling me there's not a demand for New Yorkers to go to Mexico?
There is, but not enough, only once a week. There's not that many.
Trash.
And for lie flats, I know you want lie flats every time you go to Nashville.
No.
I get a text. Why isn't there lie flat beds going to Nashville? Because
it
costs a lot of money, Claudia.
No,
the airlines are not here for our comfort.
Believe,
they're here to make money.
That's the thing. I refuse to believe, though, that, like, I'm the only person who is up in arms about the lack of lifeline beds. So you shouldn't have to be on at least a 7-hour flight to get a lifeline bed.
What would your threshold be in the ideal
four club? 4 hours.
4 hours. That's not a bad.
I mean, Vegas, which I only knew from you, is like they have very few flights in the Delta that
and
they actually.
Pick smartly.
Yeah, and they do have lifeline beds. But I wouldn't have known that, and I would have just gotten on one with a recliner. That's a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
That's long.
Well, Claudia, let's end on something we both agree with. Okay. More lifeline beds in the sky.
In 2019, here are resolutions. More Celine Dion and more lifeline beds.
Done and done. Everyone, please follow Claudia at Girl with No Job, at Claude with No Job. Go see her on the Dirty Jeans tour. You might just see me there.
Yes.
Any other plugs?
You can follow my dog on Instagram too, Pup with No Job. My husband also, Boy with No Job, if you want. My sister, Jackie, O'Palms. I got a bunch of sisters. Just follow me and like I'll show you all the way.
Claudia, thanks for coming and safe travels
in
2019.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Again, I'm your host, Brian Kelly. And this episode was produced by Caroline Chagrin and Jessica Robniak, with editing by Ryan Gabus. Our music's by Breakmaster Cylinder, and a special thanks to Adam Kotkin and Mike Bruno. If you like this episode and want to hear more, make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you downloaded this podcast. But more importantly, tell your friends. The more people we have listening, the more episodes we'll make. And if you tag me on Instagram at Brian Kelly or use the hashtag Talking Points on social media, I might even give you a shout out. See you next week, and until then, safe travels.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.